to Pastor Lonnie.
God bless you, Pastor. Bless you. Appreciate you. Amen. You may be seated, but smile on the way down. Amen. Praise God. Good to be with you. Thank you, praisers, for your praise and worship. Praise and worship does not bring God into our presence. It just makes us aware of His existing presence. Amen. Said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good news? Oh, I tell you, that's just great news to me. Hallelujah. It's so good to be with you again this year. We do some traveling, a lot of churches, teaching and leadership meetings, doing some conferences, been speaking a lot of churches. We just got back from Ohio, West Virginia, South Carolina, and Tennessee. We could go Monday. And so we'll be over in Columbus next week, then South Dakota, and then Iowa. Go home for 4 weeks. Yes. I told Linda, I was counting, we've been about 11 different hotels, and I tell you what, you do love your own bed. You do love your own bed, I tell you. Being a submitted man that I am, mine calls me by my first name, and I go jump right in. You know, Pastor was sharing some things there about your tithes and offerings, and that's so important for you to get to understand that nobody is trying to get anything from you. We're trying to get you in a position to get it flowing through you. But let me just add one little thing to what you were saying, because it's accurate about calling in that seed. But understand, you also have to be good stewards of the other 90%. I've seen people get the revelation of the tithe, but they blow the other 90%, then blame God. Say, I love you, Lonnie, somebody. Okay, thank you. I just needed some encouragement right then. Amen. 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 And something else you said, I'm going to chase that rabbit right now. You were talking about things we're saying. And I was sharing this with her at lunch today that, you know, there's something you can say every time you make a declaration. You can say, I'm blessed of the Lord. And you say, that's the way I want it. I am healthy. That's the way I want it. Now, why would you be saying that? Because I want to help you catch yourself when you do something wrong. You could say, oh, I'm sick, and that's the way I want it. No, that's not right. I'm poor. I have no money. Oh, that's the way I want it. No, no, no. You see, if you begin to say, that's the way I want it, you'll begin to open your eyes. Oh, I got to watch my mouth. I said that. I said that, you know. So we got to, in our growth process, notice I said a process. We don't get hard on one another. We encourage one another to continue to grow in the Lord. You have probably a lot more growth in areas in your life than I have in mine. I may have some in mine, but we don't compare ourselves to one another. We compare ourselves to the Lord. And also we compare ourselves to ourselves as we look over our shoulder and we rejoice saying, look what the Lord hath done. Thank you. I'm not the person I used to be, but I'm not the person I'm going to be. Amen. 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 I want to share some things with you tonight that's really been on my heart now for some time. The way the enemy tries to really defeat a lot of Christians is, and it's something that you and I go through all the time, are distractions in life. I was sharing with Pastor Jackie and Ken today that, you know, it's a military tactic to distract. You know, in every military unit, I don't care, U.S. or the German during World War II, you will always use these diversionary tactics that will get people looking in one direction as you do something else. Sleight of hand magicians do that all the time. They distract you over here as they do something over here. But I tell you, we have to be careful of this. Born again, spirit-filled believers, it's easy to get distracted. It really is. But we need to look at how serious I think God is about it. Because the question I'm going to ask you tonight, how do you see your Heavenly Father? How do you see the Word of God? I see God, He's very detailed. But as I look at the Word of God and I begin to hear all that He's ever said and done, He's always very explicit, very pointed, very focused. Look even what He did back there with Adam and Eve. He says, hey, I've created all this. I want you now to take care of all the things I've done. Only do not partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you're going to die. Let me ask you a question. When He told Adam and Eve that, was that a suggestion?
No.
Or was that instruction?
Yes, sir.
We get tempted at times to look at the Word of God almost as a suggestion or an option. But when we look at the heart of the Father, that the heart that He has for us, He wants us to succeed in life. I like what Pastor Jackie is saying. Boy, I tell you, you can just trust God to give it. But when you begin to know the nature of your Heavenly Father, He wants to lavish you in goodness. Some people think it's wrong to believe beyond your necessity. God says, I'm not just a necessity God. I'm a big God. I'm a lavishing God. I want to lavish you. I mean, hey, boys, the guys are hungry here. What you got? Oh, we got just, what, two fish and some bread? No big deal. Enough for me. What did He do? He multiplied so much, 12 baskets left over. How about Mama? Son, we need some more wine. Man, He took about 30 gallons of water and made that into wine. Now listen, that's a lot of wine. But it wasn't just getting by. He wants to lavish you. He delights even in the prosperity of His people. Why? Because you are a reflection of your God. Children in the house, you're a reflection of your parents. The way your parents take care of you, it's a reflection upon them because you're just a child. Don't you understand? A lot of people get their image and their perception of who God is by looking at the church. Ooh, oh me. I tell you what, that's why we need to be walking in joy and peace and being blessed and being a blessing. Amen. But so as we see even through the Word, He was so detailed. Even when He was talking about building the tabernacle, He was so specific. He said, this is what it's going to be made out of. This is the dimensions. Oh, the curtains, yeah, made of this. Oh, the ark, this. Oh, all the tinsels. Oh, yeah, everything He gave such a detailed description. Was that a suggestion?
No.
It was instruction, wasn't it? So when we hear God began to speak, you know, even the birth of Jesus, He began to speak back there, even in the garden to Satan. And He began to say, there's a time coming. Yeah. Your seed just going to bruise His heel, but He's going to bruise your head, speaking of authority. He began to prophesy something. He began to speak something. Listen, the devil believes God's word more than a lot of believers do. Because at that moment of time, he knew his time was coming, and he is so spiritually undiscerning, he didn't even know when Jesus came as a baby. He had to go kill all the boys, 2 years old and younger, trying to get Jesus, because he didn't even know where he's at. And some people say, oh, the devil's doing something because he knows God's going to do something. No, I tell you what, I have an idea. You're finally going to get off your duff. And you're going to take your authority, and that's why God's going to be doing something good in your life. People give the glory to the devil for a lot of the things that you and I allow in our own lives without standing in position. But when God said, that's what we need to grab a hold of. When He speaks, it's not a suggestion. How do you see God? How do you see His word? Biblical knowledge should enhance your relationship with God. Biblical knowledge should never be a substitute for a relationship with Him. Biblical knowledge should enhance your relationship with your Heavenly Father. It should never be a substitute for a relationship with Him. I'm not just trying to learn this word just so I can have some head knowledge. Because all of this word coming to me, John 5:39, New Living Translation says it this way. You search the Scriptures because you think it'll give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me. Glory to God. You search the Scriptures and you need to see, they're always pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're pointing, even through the Old Testament, all through the New, it's always pointing to the Lord. Don't search the Scriptures, think you're going to find eternal life in there, not even by all the things that you do, because you can't earn your salvation. It's a free gift. Somebody says, well, I've got to do everything I can to get God to love me. I'm sorry, honey, listen. God loved you first before you ever knew him. No, God first loved us. So there's nothing you do to get him to love you. Well, I'm going to do this so God will do this for me. No, then you are in a position of trying to earn something where you will begin to be prideful thinking, look what I did. When all along we should always say, look what the Lord hath done. It's nothing that we do, but the scriptures should point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we see the word? Okay, I know these scriptures you know, but let's just look at them. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is given by private interpretation, but the word of God was given by holy men of God that spake, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Moved by the Holy Spirit. That word is anointed, folks. God has his stamp on it. Somebody said, well, there's so many different translations. Yes, and there's so many different personalities in this room that if you had a truth for you to share it, it'd come out different from one of you to the other of you. You have to get the spirit of the truth in your heart. But another one is 2 Timothy 3:16, saying what? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. There again, it's the Holy Spirit has inspired men, okay? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction. What's the next word? Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished in all good works. What I want to do tonight, what I believe the Spirit of God wants me to do, is help you see some instruction. The Word of God is not a suggestion. It's instruction. I wrote this down. What distracts you is never as important as what you get distracted from. What distracts you is never as important as what you're distracted from. See, the Lord wants you to be focused on Him. But sometimes we can get distracted. And what we're distracted by, that's never as important as what I got distracted from. So hear what I'm saying. So we have to understand, we're finding out some things now, how the enemy works. See, that's one thing even in the military, you had to know your enemy. Well, I know the enemy, he's defeated, yes he is. He's the oldest loser on planet Earth, yes he is. But I also began to realize how he operates, so I can recognize that, because sometimes there's things that come up, you begin, is that God? Is it? If you ever have a thought, you begin, is that thought of God? Is that thought me? Is that thought of the devil? Well, what you do, you judge it by the word, okay? And also by the witness of your spirit. Amen. So, but anyway, what we're talking about then, the word of God. How do you see the word of God? Do you see it as instruction? Or do you see it as just a suggestion? Do you see it as an option? In Isaiah 26:3, King James says, thou will keep him a perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee, is the song we were singing here tonight about trusting in the Lord. But notice, he will keep him perfect peace whose mind is stayed or not distracted. You know how you get peace? How you keep it? Keep focused on the Lord. I was talking to Pastor Jackie because I send out something to a lot of pastors every month. And recently I sent one where the Lord had just spoken to my heart when I was dealing with something. And he just simply was telling me, nothing to worry about, son. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Peace. See, he wants to bring us back to the center of the road. Because you'll get distracted. I will. You will, and I will. We'll have opportunities to get distracted. But what are we going to do during that distraction? We need to go back to the source where the truth is. Amen? Okay. You keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because you trust in him. You're not distracted. You're going to stay on him. Amen. So when something happens, I want to go to the Lord. I want to go to his word. I want to define it from that point. In Psalms 143:8, let me hear of your unfailing love each morning. I love this. New Living Translation. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. That's one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Word of God. Why? Because the first part he's talking about his love, his relationship with his Father. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning. Why? Because I'm trusting you. Let me ask you a question. How can you trust somebody you don't know?
Come on, that's it right there.
So how can I build my trust in the Lord? fellowshipping with Him, getting to know Him. Yes, through the Word, by getting in His presence, getting quiet. I tell you what, if there's something the body of Christ has lost, and the Bible talks about meditating the Word, but a lot of believers just don't do it. You know why? One, it's going to take time. Number two, it's going to take discipline. Number three, it's going to take honesty. You hear what I'm saying? There's times you just need to get in the presence of God and get quiet and just say, Lord, here I am. I worship You, but Lord, here am I. Is there something You want to speak to my heart about? Getting to know the Lord, knowing His voice, knowing how He leads, but getting to know Him. And as I read His Word, even the Old Testament, I see what it is to have God, being on God's side, and I see having a covenant. I see what it means not to have a covenant. If you don't have a covenant, man, you're a hopeless situation there. But when you got a covenant, what do I see all through the Old Testament? Look, grace and mercy throughout the whole. Look what grace and mercy did when Adam and Eve sinned against God. He said, I'm going to kill, make a sacrifice. Ooh. He sacrificed and gave them clothes.
Yes, that's right.
You know, how many times did the children of Israel blow it? But God come right back with grace and mercy. See, you begin to see His nature and His heart toward His people. And when you're born again, you've entered into a covenant with God. Now listen, just because you're a believer doesn't mean that God has accepted us and rejected the Jews. He's grafted us in. Oh, but I love that though. You know, it's like somebody's been adopted. How wonderful. You've been chosen. When you're adopted, they chose you to adopt you. We've been chosen to be grafted into the vine. Doesn't make us better than them. It just makes, hey, we're in the family. Glory to God. Anyway, I got to keep going here. Philippians 4:8, King James. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, what things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there any praise, think on these things. Focus. Now let me ask you a question. Is that a suggestion? How do we see God's Word? Do we see God as being a father to us, trying to strengthen us, encourage us, to help us be mature children of God? And He said, here, I'm trying to help you, children. Here's some instruction. Take it like the instructions He gave to build the tabernacle, the temple. You know, all of these, as He was so He says, hey, anything that's true, honest, pure, just, lovely, good report, think on these things. Don't get distracted. If it's not falling in these categories, don't think on it. Now that's instruction.
Yes. Come on.
2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or limited to fleshly ability, but they're mighty through God. Glory to God. We have weapons mighty through God to what? Pulling down strongholds, casting out imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Suggestion?
No.
Instruction?
Yes.
Wow. If He's telling us that we need to bring thoughts into captivity, it's because He loves us. He's wanting to take care of you. Because He knows if you get distracted, the enemy could come in that distraction and try to take advantage of you. He isn't trying to be hard. As a parent, you love your children, and sometimes it's just like a leader. Leaders have to make hard decisions in government and at home. I won't go there, Lord. Thank you. But at home, as a parent, you got to make hard decisions sometimes because your kids are really wanting some things, and you can't do it. You know what I'm saying? You have to make some hard decisions. Now, well, your Heavenly Father's trying to say, I'm not trying to be hard. I'm trying to help you. Help you be strong. Help you to take your place in the body of Christ that Pastor Jackie was talking about. That you are unique. You're somebody. You are a particular person. So He says here, you need to bring thoughts into captivity. You need to cast down imagination, try to exalt itself against the knowledge you have of God. It's instruction. Why is he speaking so much about, like, even our thoughts and imaginations? Because I can tell you right now, your life moves in the direction of the most dominant thought. Your life moves in the direction of the most dominant thought. That's why he wants you to think on those things that are good, just, pure, loving, a good report. That'll get your life going in a certain direction. That's why he wants you to think upon who you are in Christ, because that gets your life going in a certain direction. If you begin to think of your lack, wrong direction. You begin to think only of your past and the influence it had, wrong direction. He's trying to help you. He's trying to say, let the past be past at last. Nancy Gray. Let the past be past at last. No, it's behind you. Your future's in front of you. God said, I'm going to lead you into your future, but you need to take some instruction. Amen. Well, that's okay. Philippians, the third chapter, verses 13 and 14, the second part of 13 says, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching toward those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What did he say? Forget about some things of the past. That was then. This is now. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to reach toward those things that are before you. What's that talking about? Focus. It says now you need to press. What does that mean when you say press? There's opposition. What's the opposition? Distractions. You have things trying to distract you toward your future. Distractions toward fulfilling God's purpose and plan for your life. Distractions. So God says, wake up to these things. I'm giving you instructions on how to overcome. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Until your soulish area, your mind and your will and your emotions, until your mind's been renewed, it's going to think and coordinate along with the flesh, the body. So if your soul and your body are in agreement, your spirit's held captive. But when your mind is renewed to the Word of God and it agrees with the Spirit, the body does the only thing it's supposed to do is carry you around. So he's wanting us to have our minds renewed so our spirit that believes God is in one with God, that you'll be strong, glory to God, and doing the things that he's instructed you to do. Again, instructions from the Lord are not bad, harmful, or hurtful. They're helpful. Amen. Amen. It's been said that the human attention, not money, is the most valuable commodity there is. The human attention, not money, is the most valuable commodity that there is. Pastor was talking about that tonight. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yes, sir.
So your attention. Somebody has your attention, they have your focus. They are influencing you. If you yield to it, they will lead you. There's so much going on in the world today. We can be so easily distracted. Every time you turn around, you hear about the prices. You hear about, you know, upheavals, terrorism, lack, fear. These things, listen, yes, they're going on in the world, and Jesus said they would go on in these last days. But listen, don't get distracted by that and forget what the Lord has done for you and prepared for you and the authority that he's given to you. Listen, this isn't desperate time for the believer. This is heyday. This is where you can live it in front of it. My daughter, she was telling me the other day, she had to go to Eastern Illinois University. She's doing, in her job, she was referencing things. Well, all she did was answer this one girl when she said, I have so many questions, I don't have answers. And the girl said, well, why don't you ask this woman? She's ordained minister. You are? And she started asking all these questions, and my daughter led her to the Lord. See, what I'm saying is, see, when you're where you're at, you don't have to be behind a pulpit to be in ministry. You are in ministry. And I tell you what, when you come to church, you're on duty. Where I go to church there in Sullivan, Illinois, when we're home, not traveling. My daughter, she's on the board there, and she ministers at times. And that's where we go. I love the church. I love the fellowship. I love the ministry. But when I go there, I may not be preaching at all. I may not do anything in the natural, but I'm on duty. Amen. What am I going to do? I'm going in. I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. Why? I'm on duty. Yes. Listen, God wants his people to praise him. Yes. I was reading a book the other day, and it was talking about your hands lifted is your yod. God loves hands lifted, lifting up your hands in the sanctuary, lifting your hands to worship and praise to God. That's your yod. Your kabod is your essence, who you are. When you come into worship, you should not be singing a song because everybody, no, I'm lifting my arms and I'm putting my heart into what I'm singing. Why? I'm on duty. What else do I do because I'm on duty? I bring my tithe. I bring my offering. Why? I'm on duty. So here I come in church, what am I doing? I come in, I'm praising the Lord with my hands lifted. I'm coming in with an offering to the Lord. What else am I doing? I'm coming with my prayers. Not for myself. I pray for everybody in here that you are moved by the Spirit of God, that you receive what God wants to give to you tonight. Any person not born again will get born again or need to be filled, get healed, everybody get healed. I'm praying for anybody watching on this that that same anointing be upon them. I'm praying for the praise team. I'm praying for the host and hostess greeting us out here. I'm praying for the pastor, the one that's, why am I doing this? I'm on duty. Why? Because I'm a minister. What's that mean? You're a minister. You need to do the same thing. There's one body. And when we come together, I come with my yod and my kabod. I come in with who I am to worship God and to be on duty. I'm not attending. I'm not visiting. I'm not spectating. I'm on duty. And if any of you are watching from home right now and you're not here, and you're sick, we're believing for you to be healed so you can get in here. But if you're sitting at home eating soggy Cheerios in your pajamas glancing at the TV, that's not in church. Somebody say, I love you, Lonnie. Let me ask you this question. The scripture says, neglect not the assembling of yourselves together. Is that a suggestion? Is that instruction? You see, I can stay home, I can get information, but there is be an impartation in the presence. How do we see the Word of God? How do we see our Father God? What's our perception? And all that He's spoken to us in the Word of God, was it a suggestion? Or was it instruction in righteousness that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished into all good works? He chastens those whom he loves. He instructs those whom he loves. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Your life moves in the most dominant direction of your thought life. That's why he wants us to think on certain things. Who has your focus has your attention. What's it say in, we read it all ago, Isaiah 26:3. It says, I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I don't believe God created us to live a distracted life. He's created us to live a focused life, being led by the Spirit of God.
So good.
That's the key right there.
You know, the Holy Spirit inspired the Word when it was written. He inspires the Word when you read it. And when you meditate upon it, he'll begin to open it up and reveal things to you that you didn't see before. I remember Buddy Harrison one time saying that he went to his granddad's house and he was on the front porch and he said, Buddy, come. Buddy thought something was wrong with him. Here he is, an elderly man. He got over and he said, look what I just found in the Word of God. You know, I don't care how old you are, keep learning. I told Pastor Jack today, I'm not going to get old. You don't get old when you keep learning. You know, I'm serious about that. You stop, you settle, you'll die. If the enemy cannot destroy you outright, he'll try to distract you. Because the result of being distracted can lead to destruction.
Right.
If I can't destroy you, I'm going to try to distract you. Oh, I'll distract you by everything that's on television. Oh, all the movies, all the sports events, all the other things, you know, in this whole wide world that there is, you know. And we don't have to talk about the way it was, but we need to talk about the way it is now. Because I know too many people are still living in yesterday when it was totally different. Lord, Lord, Lord. If I'd went into a coma as a young boy and I come out now, I would not know where I was at. But, folks, it's a sign of the times. Your good being evil spoken of and such. So don't get upset by a bunch of this junk that the enemy tries to put out there. But if the enemy, if he can't destroy you outright, he'll try to distract you. Amen. But listen, if the enemy can distract you from the time that you have being alone with the Lord, then he can isolate you from the one to where help comes from. If he can just isolate you, well, I just don't feel like praying anymore. You've been isolated. Well, I just haven't got time. Don't feel like you have to have an hour to be in the Word. I'd rather you get up in the morning and just read one scripture, if nothing else, and meditate on that Word. God would too. Don't let the guilt stop you in your tracks. We all get busy at times, okay? Oh, I'm busy, and that's the way I want it.
Hey, come on.
No. Oh, I've just got too much to do, and that's the way I want it. No, I tell you what, if you're busy all the time, it kind of says maybe you've lost some control. You can be wrong. And remember, what distracts you is never as important as what you get distracted from. So, Matthew, the 14th chapter, this is the instance where Jesus is walking on the water, the boys are in the boat. And what does Peter say? Hey, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come. What did Jesus say?
Come.
Peter gets out of the boat. He begins to walk on the water. But he got distracted. He saw the wind and the waves. He began to sink. Listen to what Jesus said. This is the New Living Translation. I love what he says here in verse 31. Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. But listen to this. He said, why did you doubt me? When I read that in the Living Translation, it hit me like a ton of bricks. When I don't do what God said, he said, why did you doubt me? Now think about this. Jesus is going to be out there to be at the boat with the boys. Peter said, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus simply responded to the request of Peter. But when Jesus said, come, Peter started walking on water, but then he went down. But notice, Jesus took it personal. Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? And I tell you, that hit me like a ton of rocks when I read that. If I do something, all of a sudden I realize I wasn't doing what God was wanting me to do, it's like, Lonnie, why did you doubt me? If I'm really looking at the Word of God as the Word of God, that there is instruction in there for my benefit and for the benefit in the body of Christ, I have to have this seriousness about the way I see the Word, the way I see God, that it isn't just a life on earth that I can just make my own decisions up. I'm to be led by the Spirit of God. You are too. Now, I don't say that putting pressure on you. I'm really saying that to bring liberty to you. Because pressure is when you feel all alone. Ha ha! Pressure is when you feel alone. Peace is when you know somebody is there with you to hold you up, to lead you in the right way. Oh, how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. To be loved, to be adored, to be praised, to be exalted for His goodness and His grace, His loving compassion, for His mercy. Who He is. Who He is. Why did you doubt me? I don't want the Lord saying that to me.
No way.
I'm not trying to get something from God. No, I've got everything from him he's wanting to give me. I'm wanting to, it flows out. Hear what I'm coming from? Because that's an area I have a problem with some people in the body of Christ right now. They think they do this and God will do that. No, wait a minute. You know his nature. You receiving from him. See, I received his love and now I can love others. See, you can't really love others until you've been loved by God. You haven't got anything to give until you, when you're born again, the love of God was shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now it's inside of you, and I think I taught on the fruit of the Spirit here a couple years ago. And see, what that is, that's God's DNA inside of you. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is when you cooperate with him, and then out comes what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. That's all the attributes of God. And it's inside of you right now, the seed is. And it is being developed inside of you. Amen. Overcome distractions. Adam and Eve, they were tempted by what they saw. The Bible says it was pleasing in their sight. They ignored the instruction of God and brought the sin into this earth that did not exist until that time. God said to Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Moses said, can't do. I have a problem with my speech. Remember, if God tells you to do something, you can do it. Here's another example of God's grace and mercy. Moses got distracted by his ability. How about David and Bathsheba? David saw Bathsheba down there taking a bath. Ooh, he didn't turn his head, did he? But he did. He ended up having adultery, having her husband killed. He's a murderer now. Distractions. He was distracted by Bathsheba. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold all of their the lands. They had all this money, but they wanted to have the recognition. Oh, we've sold it all for this to give. No, they were distracted by desiring to have the praise and the acknowledgement by everybody else on how great they were by all that they were given. Come on. How about Mary and Martha? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha back here having a hissy fit. I don't have it written down here, I don't think. No, I don't. But I love the way it says in one translation, Jesus, oh, Martha, Martha, Martha. Mary has chosen the right thing, but you've been distracted. I forget which translation said it, but you've been distracted. Now then, how about the disciples? Been fishing all night long. Now then, here you've been fishing all night long. You're several generations of fishermen. And here is a man, if you don't look natural, he's a carpenter. And he's saying, hey, boys, throw that net over on the other side. But guess what? They know Jesus. They trust him. What'd they say? We fished all night, but nevertheless, at your word. They took the instruction, cast their net in, and caught more. I think it said it was 153 fish. That alone blesses me. He didn't say 150 or around 160. You see, when we're fishers of men, everyone counts. Ooh, shalamakari to samba.
Yes.
That's so good.
Fisher of men. They cast their net out. They took the instruction of the Lord and experienced the benefit of lining up to what the Lord had said to do. Family, there's benefit for you to take instruction from the Lord.
Yes.
Think on those things of good, pure, lovely, just, and good report. Cast down imaginations. Bring that captive to every thought.
Yeah.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Watch what you're thinking on.
Yes.
Watch your mouth.
Yes.
That's the way I want it. Learn to say that when you make some statements inside of your heart. Say, that's the way I want it. Ooh. Lord, forgive me. Pull that dude right back. I believe a reason for a lot of failures is because people reject instruction.
Exactly.
Yep. Wow.
Wow.
Yep.
They reject instruction. Distraction is the enemy of focus and clarity. Focus and clarity are the elements of a good spiritual life, a good healthy life. Amen.
Amen.
So good.
Question I had was, what is distracting you from fulfilling God's purpose and plan in your life? What's distracting you fulfilling God's purpose and plan in your life? Now understand what that is. You may never be known by anybody, but you'll be known by God.
Amen.
We don't go for popularity. We don't go for recognition. We just want to serve the Lord as He instructs us. You where God placed you, that's where we need you in the body of Christ. We need people behind the pulpit, that's true, but I tell you what, we need barbers, beauticians, plumbers, and everywhere. People that will let the light shine.
Amen.
You're in ministry. We were just in West Virginia, and one nurse there, she's in admitting discharge, and she just bubbles. She leads people, Lord, every week there at that hospital. Is she in ministry? Yes. My daughter led that woman to the Lord the other day. Is she? Yes. You're in ministry, family. Take instruction from the Lord. You are in ministry. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're in ministry. Every member has a supply. That's what the Bible says. Every joint has a supply. I just don't want you to think of joint. No, every part of the body of Christ has a supply. My wife is shaking her head, rolling her eyes in the back. She said, I can't believe this guy. when you ever consider the fact you're never alone, God's there with you all the time. How do you see God? How do you see His Word? But how do you see you? How do you see you? Don't get distracted by what other people may say about you or think about you. Somebody said, well, I've been told all my life that I'm a failure. I'm no good. I'll be no good at all. There's only one thing wrong with all of that. If you believed it. If you believed it. Don't believe it. You walk down the street, somebody says, hey, ugly. Don't turn around and look. They ain't talking to you. Walk down the street, someone says, hey, stupid. Don't turn around and look. They ain't talking to you. No, don't pick that dude up. Don't even entertain that for one moment. John, the first chapter, this is going to be King James, verses 22 and 23. This is where they come to John the Baptist. They say, who are you? He says, we need to give an answer to them that sent us. What do you say about yourself? This is what John the Baptist said. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said by the prophet Isaiah. When they asked him who he was, notice he didn't respond what he thought. He said what God said. Don't allow any thoughts to be entertained in your mind or your heart that do not exist in the heart and the mind of God of you. Don't let any thoughts be entertained or received inside of you about who you are that do not already exist in the heart and the mind of God about you. How does He see you? He sees you as His child. He sees you as the chosen. He sees you as His workmanship. He sees you as His friend. He sees you as brand new. He sees you as the residence of the Holy Spirit. He sees you as a conqueror. He sees you as an overcomer. He sees you healed. He sees you prosperous. He sees you whole. That's how God sees you, and you need to see yourself the way God has spoken about you in the Word. Because His Word will give instruction. But His Word will also give you a revelation of who He is, who you are and who the devil is. Amen?
Yes.
Amen, 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 amen. Your life moves in the direction of the most dominant thought.
True. Yep.
That's why we have to bring our thoughts into captivity.
Yeah, that's right.
Last verse. This is from the Passion Translation. I really enjoy the Passion Translation.
Yeah.
Proverbs 4:25. Listen to this. Set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose. Look straight ahead. Ignore life's distractions. I'll read it again. Set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose. Look straight ahead. Ignore life's distractions. That's how you can be an overcomer. Take in instruction. Walk in fellowship with the Father. Enjoying your life. Enjoying your relationship with the Father. Remember, the scripture should enhance your relationship with God. It should never be a substitute for a relationship with Him. You don't go to the Word just to get head knowledge. You go to the Word to find the Father. Amen? Amen. And when you go to the Word, you need to see it this way also. It's not, see, I shared this with Ken today. If I said, hey, Ken, I'm going to buy you a brand new riding lawnmower. This is an example. Don't hold me to it. Okay, just an example. But if I was serious, and yeah, and this is the way I want it, he said. But but if I said that to him, if he didn't know me, he didn't know if I'd do it or not. But if he knew me, he said, I can trust you what you say. So you see, when I read the Word of God, I'm not just reading ink on paper. This is my Father speaking to me. That's how serious we need to be with the Word of God. It's the Father speaking to me. I can trust Him because I know Him. We were also talking today. You ever notice when people get born again, it seems like they just, I mean, things just move. I mean, there for a 1 year, 2 year, I mean, answers to prayer just left and right. And all of a sudden, it seems like they kind of start slowing down. Did you ever wonder why? It's because your Father is wanting to be a father to them. It's like with you and your small children. You made all decisions. You provided everything for them. But as they get a little bit older, you expect them to start growing up. You expect them to grow up. You pull away, you make some decisions. You see what I'm saying? God's trying to grow us up. Somebody said one time, well, I'm going to leave your church because I'm not being fed here. Okay. You know what that's, you just told me? You're an infant. You have to be fed all the time. You need to be feeding yourself every day. We come to church to be fed and encouraged, but listen to this, though. I'm in church because I'm going to the place God called me to be, and I'm on duty. I'm going to feed myself all week long, but I'm also going to draw on the anointing of the pastor. I'm going to draw upon that. I need that, but I need to be on duty where God's called me to be with my gift, my grace, my anointing, because that's why God planted me here. That's why He planted you here. You have something God has for this church. We need your gift, your grace. We need your praise. We need your finances. We need your what? Prayers. We need your agreement. But all of those things I just said needs to come from a willing heart. We cannot force anybody to do anything, and we never would. If you feel ever pressured to give finances, don't you even give, because it ain't going to do you any good, and us either. Somebody say, I love you, Lonnie. Every time you talk about finances, you feel it shut down, I tell you. No, listen, let's grow up. Turn to the person next to you and say, grow up. Just say it in love. No. We get to grow up. We get to encourage one another. We're not here to condemn, put anybody down. We're here to support and lift up. Why? Because we've been given instructions. I am my brother's keeper. I am a minister. You are a minister. And I'm going to take what God's given me. So tonight. What has God said to you? Close your eyes right now. What has God been speaking to your heart? Has there been instruction? Don't take it from Lonnie. Don't you dare take it from me. Has the Lord spoken to your heart? Be serious about that, because you're living your life in front of Him, not in front of me. You're here to serve Him and to love Him. Oh, He's a wonderful Abba, Daddy, Father. Loves you with a love that cannot even be described. Oh, the God of all creation created you. There in your mama's womb, He began to put inside of you the gifts, the graces, the talents that you need to fulfill His purpose and His plan in this earth. You don't have to be like other people. You need to be the one God's called you to be. There's liberty in that. There's peace in that. There's joy in that. And that will give God glory because you're fulfilling His purpose and plan. So what's God saying to you tonight? It's so important that you get it. What does He speak into your heart? One thing, two things, three things? What's the most important thing you heard in your heart tonight? Meditate that now. Meditate it. Next several days, meditate. What did God say to you? Meditate it. Let it be rich inside of your heart. Let it be inserted by the Spirit of God, a deposit that's going to be it's going to take you into your future. And you can hear the Lord say, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. I'm with you. When you do what I'm telling you to do, you're not doing it alone. You're doing it by my anointing. I'm there. I'm there. We're together. You're never alone. And there's nothing to fear. Now, Lord, I pray for every person in this room that it sink into their heart. In it, Father, may they bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, I release that grace upon them. And Lord, I release also healing on the body here. Anyone needing healing in the body, Lord, I just release it right now in the name of Jesus. Flow in their bodies. Bodies line up to the Word of God and the Word that I'm speaking in authority. In the name of Jesus, healing flow. Now, I don't say that trying to tell God what He has to do. I'm picking up in the Spirit what He wanted me to say, and I'm just simply being a mouthpiece to give God liberty to do what He always wanted to do. That's how easy it is. Don't make it hard. Don't make anything that God has, healing, deliverance, whatever it might be, don't make it hard. Simply receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, I'm done. Thank you for your attentiveness tonight, for receiving. Hallelujah. I'm going to sit down, take this coat off, and let the sweat run down my back.